This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 4, Episode 82, I continue the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series. I'm joined by 114 half marathoner Stephen Butcher from the Bush Jerky Track Club in Brisbane and Narissa O'Donnell, 118 half marathoner from the Burt Squad. In this spin-off series, the general agenda will include conversation about recent and local news, our training, and finishing with a topic. Today, the recent news was the Burt annual park run at Sandgate. It's an amazing run. It now features over 800 runners, 894 they had on that day, with an amazing amount, 328 sub 20 minutes. So what was founded back in 2017 from Peter Bracken and the Burt Squad has turned into something that is truly special out there. And Stephen PB'd himself with a 15:46, his fastest 5K ever, on the way to the Gold Coast Half Marathon. So that was really pleasing and rewarding to see, and a special moment for Narissa, Stephen and I to celebrate and talk about that. We then recapped our last fortnight of running. It's been pretty awesome in terms of weather, the group running for both Burt and the Bush Turkey Track Club. And then we finish with our topic today was group running versus solo running, the benefits of both and how they should be included, I believe, within your running week to get the most out of yourself as a runner and arguably as a person as well. I hope you enjoy this spin-off series. It's something a little bit different than the one-on-one interviews that I do on the podcast, and I really hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. It's episode 3 of this Road to the Gold Coast Half Marathon series, starring Stephen Butcher and Narissa O'Donnell from the Bush Jerky Track Club and the Burt Squad in Brisbane. It's also episode 82. I had Isaac Hayne, Australian runner, just on the other week, who was second in the Launceston Half Marathon. Narissa, you would have heard about him. You were there for that event. But anyway, we squeezed that one in between. And on this episode today, it's going to be a massive conversation, particularly about the Burt annual speedy park run at Sandgate 2, which occurred yesterday. We speak on Sunday, by the way. It's about 1 o'clock here in Brisbane. And we had over 800 runners there yesterday for what has now become arguably the world's fastest park run. I'm not sure if there's any others out there that can rival the numbers we're going to talk about today, but it was awesome to see Stephen's runner 5K PB as well on the way to the Gold Coast Half Marathon. And I might start there with Stephen. Welcome to you, the 15:45 guy now, is that correct?
46. But he's still honest. Pretty, yeah. No, it's, thanks for, again, good to be here. Looking forward to chat some running. And no, I wasn't expecting to run PB yesterday. I was sort of You know, it was one of those ones I was pretty confident I'd go under 16, but I just had a bit of a blinder. It's probably the magic of Speed Week. They, for some reason, get good weather every year, and there's so many guys around. And yeah, it's yeah, good day.
100%. And welcome to Nerissa. 118 half marathon. Oh, she's on her way to potentially breaking that in what, almost 3 weeks now.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie. Good to be back.
Excellent. Hey, it's just an amazing part of the year now, isn't it? Winter running season. I was out at Sandgate this morning with a few mates doing a session, but so many people out there. A few athletes too, local legends in running athletes, that is, who are on their way towards the Gold Coast Marathon event as well. But it's just the time of year too where that weather turns, and we saw it turn yesterday too for the park run, which was awesome to see. As always, guys, this series we intend to share the insights into our running for the listeners, but also to potentially get them to learn off runners, I guess, of our ability. Not that we're entirely elite. Nerissa is probably the most elite on this podcast. We discussed that, but this idea of threes continues. It's the third Road Two series that I've ever done on this podcast. It's the third episode. There's three of us here today. We're 3 years apart, and we're almost 3 minutes apart in the half marathon itself. So, agenda today, as sort of mentioned there on the top, was the park run, our training weeks, and then we'll get into what I think will be pretty interesting actually. We group and solo running, like looking at how often we run with a group in the week and solo, and what sort of in both capacities, how they benefit runners out there. Shall we start with the park run then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. I might belt out a few stats here. So, by the way of weather, if we start there, I was out there. I didn't attend the event as a runner, just as a supporter of predominantly the Bush Jerky Track Club and watching athletes like Stephen out there. I was about probably 600 to 700 meters from the start line. I was looking at 7 degrees on the weather, almost no wind. I reckon there would have been a couple K wind there at some point. But runners, 894 attended yesterday. I did a bit of research, guys. The largest park run I can find based on stats, unless it's been surpassed in the last year and a half, was Albert Melbourne Park Run, which got 1,090 runners in January last year. So we're talking almost 900 here yesterday, getting pretty close to the biggest. And of course, we talk about it being the fastest. If I just touch on a bit of history, I spoke to Peter Bracken yesterday. He's the facilitator and coach of the BERT squad, but they started this. I think it'd be important to acknowledge how it all began. And that was back, Nerissa, you might clarify if I'm incorrect here. Was that 2017 from memory that they founded the park run? They started as a group in 2016, but I think it was that year later that they started this park run.
I think you're correct. I think, yeah, because I think my first year doing part the Speed Week was 2018 when I joined BERT. So I think they'd had it the year before, 2017. I think you're right.
Yes, and I think at that point it was really intended for the group to go there to pick a fast park run to sort of compete and into club sort of competition to see how fast they could run for the park run. Of course, over years, now 8 years later, it's just got bigger and bigger, hasn't it? But I believe Nancy Crew too were a part of that first squad. That's the squad that has Clay Dawson, who's been an amazing Brisbane runner for many years, sort of leading and in that group as well. And now we're looking at clubs all over Brisbane coming here. Sort of you do the event and finish and just think, where do these people come from that are so fast? We're talking about guys like Stephen running 15:45, and I think you were 51st, Stephen, is that correct?
Yeah, there's 50 guys in front of me. So, yeah, it just puts in perspective. It's incredibly deep, and I ran just like to show it's getting deeper as well. 2 years ago, I ran 15:53, and I think I came 39th. So, in that time, I've shaved off 7 seconds, and they've added 10 more guys in front of me. So, yeah, it's getting deeper every year. I thought it was a little bit more light on at the top end this year, but that sort of between 15:15 and 15:45, it was like chockers. So, it's getting deeper every year, like.
Yeah, well, let's speak of that because 16 runners were sub 15. So that number, maybe sub 15, could be the highest. But I think what Stephen may be alluding to is that the winning times and top three weren't as fast as they have been last few years. 14:30 was the winner, 14:31. Jackson Patterson Wright and Ben Tacey, Steve Woolley from the Eat Sleep Run Repeat podcast was on the end of the finish line there filming. And those two came through so close. I'm not sure if you guys had seen any footage of that, but they must have been within a second of each other. But 16 runners sub 15, 69 at sub 16. 137 sub 17. So if I did have a crack at that, I was hoping to break that 17 barrier again, and that's where I'd probably be, somewhere around 120 or something like that. And then 328 sub 20, which was an increase of 9 runners from last year. 319 last year were under that 20-minute barrier. So it's just simply crazy. Speaking of winners or podiums, Padraig Haffernan, he was 14:36 in third. And for the ladies, Chloe Pateman, Siobhan Sefton, Taylor Hudspeth with a 16:26, 17:07, and a 17:12 respectively. So, Narissa, you were talking off air a little bit about these ladies. Any inside info?
I don't know them personally, but I've heard of Chloe. I think Tamsin on my long run this morning told me she's from Gold Coast Run Co. From the Gold Coast. Siobhan's from the Sunshine Coast, I believe. And Taylor's Brisbane local. So that just goes to show people are coming from the Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast, all around to run this park run.
Yeah, and they must be driving up on the morning, surely. Unless, yeah, they've got some kind of, friends or family they can stay at for a 5K. You're not going to be putting in hundreds of dollars for accommodation the night before, are you? So, some pretty crazy results. What about Stephen? How was your experience, mate? And congratulations, by the way, on your PV. Like, it must be an awesome feeling to one, do that, but two, how was it out there in terms of, we talk about packs of runners, but it's almost like a peloton, one line from the start to the finish.
Oh, it was an awesome morning. Like every year, like to be honest with you, I just like there's been a few other things in life like the last couple of 4 months, so I wasn't going into it like as pumped up as I have been in the past about it. But when I got there, it's like the energy's unreal. Like, and probably the weather being like amazing helped. And I live pretty close, but I was up early and I drove down early and was just like sitting on the beach for a while. Just parked right near the Arthur Davis Park, which is where the start park run starts from, and it was just like heaps of runners showing up. And actually, it's funny, a guy I know from the Gold Coast named Nate Jones, he drove down up for it, and I was sitting on the beach, and he I was looking, I was just as I was about to get up and go to the car, I was looking at Instagram. I'm like, hang on, that's the view I'm looking at. I look left, I'm like, okay, oh, Nate, didn't see him. It's still a little bit dark, but yeah, it's awesome. Like the as an event, like I think. It's a little bit slow getting through the start, but I think that kind of saves you. And then there's just people the whole way. Like I don't think I ran a step where someone was not for like where I wasn't within a couple of meters of somebody. So yeah, it's a really well put on event. And like I would say that probably this year, like as again it was a little bit bigger. I think from memory it was about 850 last year. So they've added another 40 or 50 people on. But the event directors, so a bloke who's he doesn't actually live here anymore. He lives between Melbourne and the Sunshine Coast, but former Burt runner, still he's still definitely a big part of the Bushcheek Track Club. But Leif Mawson, he's also for years been a park run director down there, isn't anymore. But he came up to run the event. He sort of runs it the whole time. He did an amazing job of like wrangling the crowd, seating people. All those things, getting everyone in place and making sure the whole thing ran smoothly. So I think well one, the volunteers did an amazing job yesterday, and it's like for a free event, what they're doing. I know they go behind the scenes above and beyond to make it run smoothly. So I think just the few things they've changed from last year, I think it went really well from an organizational perspective. A little bit busy, but I mean it's a free event. You can't really complain. So it's yeah, it's a yeah, great vibe. It's something magic. I think unless you do it, unless you've been in there and do it, it's sort of hard to like explain like kind of the magic of the morning. It's yeah, a lot of good energy around, I reckon.
Yeah, it's truly an amazing event. It really is. And like, yeah, as I was standing at that marker when I was supporting the event, just looking back at that kind of headland, Stephen or Narissa, you'd know that too, where the Sandgate Pool kind of prods out to the water there, and just seeing this huge train of people. And we're talking about the last couple of runners are, well, they're walking. You know, they've just got like an hour 05, like times like that, where they're just plodding along to then the front at 14:30 as well. So. And that's the thing I wanted to bring up too, is like just thinking about how we can cater for this growing event, because we're getting close to 1,000 and that many people trying to run fast. I think we're kind of lucky, aren't we? That path is quite wide. Like we forget that most park runs are run on like just a standard footpath. It's pretty, I think, opportunistic to have that width to start with, but it is getting pretty crammed and overcrowded out there. I was talking, Stephen, to Scott from the Bush Turkeys who assisted Leif, I think, directing that, and he said they're definitely towards that back end, just filtering runners in after they finish is really tight, and obviously getting them out. I guess like any fun run, though, you're always going to have a stagger, like to some capacity where you're further back. But I guess the issue is there's no bibs or chips and timing systems. So, to get the gun time and net time accurate is something they just can't do. It's a free event, and it's not sort of designed to be like that anyway. But just getting to think about how moving forward we can cater for this amazingly growing event.
Yeah, it is really hard. Like, if like as you said, because it's a community volunteer run event, it's manual timing. If you the Sandgate path there probably could cater for a few more people if you could just get through the finish and then get out of the way. The start is definitely chockers and all that, and the pier's a little bit. I don't think the pier's too bad. Like Leif gave a really good instruction. He said, "Hey, if you're not If you haven't got positioned by the pier, don't pass. So just sort of stay." And which I think, yeah, most people seem to not try and pass people on the pier. But outside of that, it runs pretty smoothly. It's just that finishing where you've got to manually hand out the tokens. And yeah, I don't know. It's a challenge. You sort of wonder how much bigger it can get. Yes, I think I certainly know some people who not sort of yeah sort of they'd be more like your rec joggers. So sort of running, a 20 to 25 minute park run, they will avoid Sandgate on that week, and I think that there may be more of that. But as I said, you can't turn people away, and there's yeah, it's I suppose they do their best, and at the end of the day, once you're back a little bit, if your time's not accurate, you've got your watch. So I don't know, it's one of those things. But I think they do a really good job of trying to make it as safe as they possibly can, but it is just a huge volume of people, and yeah, next week they'll probably go back to normal numbers, which is about 300. So,
Yeah, what do you
yeah.
think, Marissa?
Yeah, I don't know if they can get much bigger, to be honest. I already found last year really hectic being around 17 minutes, 70 and a half minutes. It's just so many men, so many, everyone just going completely like all out. It was actually quite nerve-wracking trying to stay on your feet for the first little bit. And then just with other path users and things, I think they can't get too much bigger there. I did see some videos at the start. They try to have the cone so you stay like on one side, and then it just there's too many runners just going out. They were just all over the whole path on the way out. Like it was just took. I would hate to have been a walker going along there, but yeah, I think they need to think about it if it's going to get any more bigger, because yeah, things like safety have to come into account too. Runners and other path users and things as well, but it's an amazing event. And if you can get a good start and you can get swept up in it, you can run fast. I've gone there and I've run out of my skin, and then I haven't come close to that for another year or two. Like it does have the Sandgate magic of, yeah, running fast and things. But yeah, you just gotta get a good start and not get too caught up in everyone's yeah craziness. Like everyone is just, it's not like a normal park run, it's like a race. It's not a park run, everyone's just going out like a race, like it's no holding back.
That's
So
it.
that's you got to be ready to do that.
And the thing too is like as Stephen alluded to, it's a free event and it's meant to be accessed and available for anyone to come and run or walk as well. So the idea of capping, that's just not what park runs do they?
No,
So do they
exactly.
continue to run the event with it growing and look to make measures better? Some ideas that have been thrown around, and this I've even thought of this myself too. I don't want to undermine Parkrun as an organization, the amazing work that they do, but is there a thought to get it out on the road somewhere there at Sandgate and get runners to pay and get bibs of them and just give them more space and opportunity to run fast?
I think there'd be a place for that, because you don't get many fast park run, not park run, 5K events where you can run on the road fast. Like, yeah, I think people would sign up for that.
I was actually talking to Arvi, a long run with Arvi this morning, and we were talking about that. We sort of said that's probably like, if you could time it for this time of year, make it as cheap and affordable as possible. Like, even if you like, even if it was on the path at Sandgate and you could like register, make it as cheap as possible, just make it electronically timed. That would be the way to go. But I think the problem there is someone's got to organize it, like, and who that falls onto. And then I think also being that it then wouldn't be free, if it would have to stay pretty cheap to get like the buy-in from everybody. But yeah, I think hopefully one day they do have like a proper electronically timed 5K around that time of year on the roads, because that would be well, hell fun. But yeah, like I'd love to do it. But yeah, I mean, that's if it gets bigger, I suppose. Yeah, well, what can you do? As I said, free event, so.
Or do you sort of go, well, if you sub say 17 to 18 minutes, you have an event on the road paid for at a similar time of year, and then anyone slower potentially like does that fast park run still. But again, like there's so many involved parties. The first one is Bert themselves and Peter, who's founded it, but then also park run themselves, and then the third party obvious one is the runners and what they sort of want. But I think overall most are happy. I think it's more so of how the organizers can cater for the growing nature of the event and make it safe and fast. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. And if we were to graph the last 8 years of this idea, it's certainly increasing, isn't it, in so many ways.
Yeah, when I first did it, I wasn't too far off the start line, and there was only a few guys around. And now I'm way off the start line. That's the thing. Like, you just, yeah. It's definitely changed.
Yeah, well, it's Blake Reardon from Bush Turkey Track Club, previously a Burt runner. He was there for the first one. He showed me some stats and so he was in the top 10, I believe, at the time, and the top 10 were Burt runners, which is again like a bit of a reality check of where it's come from, that the top 10 back in 2017 were pretty much, I think Clay Dawson was in there or one of the Nancy guys, but the rest were pretty much Burt runners. So it certainly has changed and is a growing event. But anything else to add there? Otherwise, we'll move on to the weekly or fortnightly updates.
No, I think that covers it.
Yeah, nothing else from me on that.
Very good. Well, ladies first, Narissa, do you want to kick it off for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. Okay. So this week I was coming off the Launceston race, so we were wanted to keep my mileage high, but a little bit less intensity, just respecting that I had done a race, even though I did pull up really well from Launceston. I didn't, yeah, have too many DOMS or anything, but we just wanted to get in another high mileage week. So Monday I had off. I just did some cross training in my Pilates, and then I went to Burt on Tuesday. So the Burt session this week was 6 by 4 minutes on, 1 minute float. It was actually still really muggy this morning. I remember it was really hot. It was just after that that we got the cool change. So this, the 4 minutes on, they're sort of around half marathon pace. They're all like maybe a little bit closer to 10K, so 3:34s, 3:35, 33, 35, 37, 36, with a 1 minute float. So I ended up covering about 8.2K. So that gives me a 3:40 average for the session. So I was really happy with that session, actually. That went well. But I did notice the race in my legs when I was trying to go faster. I thought, warm me up. Oh, I don't have any DOMS at all. And then going quick, I was like, no, I've definitely got some quad soreness, but that was fine. I got through that. I did a double on my treadmill that afternoon. So I forgot to mention, like, I do doubles, but they are actually all on my treadmill just because I have the kids at home. So all my doubles, when I say I do a double, they're just all treadmill runs. I don't love the treadmill, but I don't mind it for doubles because I can just sort of put it on an easy pace and listen to some music or podcast. Wednesday, I did my normal 8Ks on my treadmill myself, and then I met Liv from Burt and we did 17Ks, so that was 25K, sorry, morning. Thursday, so I usually do a session, but this week we're just taking out, as I said, that little bit of intensity post race. So I just did just a longer run, so 18Ks in the morning, and then I doubled, I did 8Ks in the afternoon. Friday was another easy day. So 14 in the morning, 7 in the afternoon. And then I did do a bit of a session on Saturday, just a smaller session. So I did 3 by 3K at a half marathon pace. It went okay. They were sort of the first set. I averaged about 3:45s, then I averaged 3:43s and 3:42. So it's not too bad. As I said, I always find half marathon pace a little bit hard to hit in training, especially early cold mornings by yourself. So I think that's okay. Whenever I'm just a little, as long as I'm around that low 3:40s, I know I can run about 3:40 average on race day. I did a double in the afternoon, 6Ks, and then Sunday I did a 30K long run. So that gave me 145Ks for the week. So that was good. That was a solid week. This week again, Monday off, just cross training, and then BERT. I actually had a not a good session at BERT on Tuesday. Just goes to show we don't always have amazing sessions, because I felt horrible actually. I had a really big weekend. We had a few things on, social things. I was out late a few nights. And I think it just all caught up with me. Two of the kids and Dave were sick, so I don't know. I just felt horrible. So they were all doing a taper session for Sandgate Park Run. So it was 3 by K, and then they were doing some 200s. I did the 3 by K, and then I just did a 2K threshold. But my Ks were 3:30, 3:28, and 3:30, which normally I would run around 3:20 for K reps like that. So I was definitely something was going on with me that morning, and my thresholds were only around 3:46. So yeah, I just did not feel great, and I think it's just a combination of being tired, and maybe I was fighting something off as well, but that's okay. We move on. Treadmill doubled that afternoon, so I did 6Ks. My normal Wednesday, 25Ks, 8K on treadmill, 7Ks, 17Ks with Liv. And then Thursday, I actually felt really good Thursday, probably because I didn't go as hard on BERT on Tuesday. So Thursday, I was going to do just a faster run with then 5Ks at sort of marathon effort, I guess. So a bit under 4 minute Ks. I just started, I actually got rolling a bit for me on a Thursday, and then did my 5Ks at just under 4 minute pace. So I ended up doing 18Ks with 4:18 average. So that was good. Treadmill in the afternoon, 8Ks. Then Friday, I did 14Ks in the morning and 7Ks in the afternoon. So I had thought I would might do Speed Week, but getting closer to it, I just had like the kids had so much stuff on. So my kids play sports on Saturday mornings, and so one of us is taking one to netball and violin, one is taking the other one to soccer and an appointment, and it was just going to be an absolutely logistical nightmare to do Speed Week. And to be honest, it didn't really fit in with the training plan for Gold Coast Half. I wanted to do, because I tapered for Launceston, and I kind of wanted to do two bigger mileage weeks and then go down a little bit for the Roadrunners 10K next week. So there was just a few things that all came together, and I wasn't feeling like I wanted to go smash a park run. So I didn't, I just did my own session, which worked out well because I would have had 92Ks in the legs if I had went to Speed Week. So I wouldn't have felt exactly fresh to go there and try to run fast. So I did 3 by 4K at half marathon effort. So again, solo in the dark by myself along Kedron Brook. So the first one was only 3:47 average. Then I averaged 3:45 and 3:44. So that was okay. Nothing amazing, but just yeah, solid effort. I did a treadmill double in the afternoon, 7Ks, and today's long run was 32Ks, so it gave me another 145K week. So that was good. I feel like, I would have loved to have done the speed week. Like I had a little bit of FOMO, like where would I finish? What would I have run? But the kids, like the family and the kids, they do accommodate my running a lot, like going to Launceston. When I go do the half, I'm missing a day and a half of one of their soccer tournaments, things like that. So it's like there's a bit of give and take. Like I'm at the point where sometimes I want to choose family stuff over running. I don't want the narrative to always be mummy's out running and she's missing this game or this match or this thing. So it was a bit more of that, why it was really telling me not, yeah. parkrun wasn't going to work out, but I definitely did have some FOMO.
That's
But I've got,
amazing. Massive mileage. And that's where
yeah, I got
probably
two
we
really big.
differ the most at the moment, Narissa. But I think the pacing for you and
Yeah.
I is quite similar.
Similar, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, we're always asked similar, Ollie. Usually, you still got a faster half PB than me. No, the mileage matters to me. Like, I do respond well to mileage. So that was one thing as well. I wanted to get in two bigger weeks and then sort of start cutting my mileage a little bit now heading into Gold Coast as well. So if I wanted to do Sand, if I went to do Sandgate, I would want to do it properly. So I'd have to have cut my mileage Thursday and Friday. And then, as I said, it was just going to be a logistical nightmare and missing kids' stuff and things to go do it. But I got in some good training, so hopefully it'll be worth it missing Speed Week when I get an official half PB, hopefully.
No, I like that. Shows maturity, I reckon, and prioritizing what really matters right now. And I was just thinking as you were talking, Narissa, like how often on average are you doubling even before you've been on this series? Like doubling seems to be a pretty prominent feature in your running. Is it sort of 3 to 4 days per week on average? And why do you double as well?
Yeah, it's about, I was doubling sort of three, and now I'm having to sort of double four to get to that 145-ish, just because I only run 6 days, so it's hard to squeeze in that much mileage over only 6 days. It's just to get the extra, yeah, the volume in. As I said, I always just do it on my treadmill, so it's easy, but it is just squeezing it in a half hour between like kids doing stuff and taking kids to different after school activities. It's just getting it in. Tuesday's my least favorite double because I Tuesday's a work day for me, so the last thing I feel like doing when I get home from work is getting straight on a treadmill after pickups and things, but you know, I just get it done.
Yeah, many questions there, Stephen.
I was actually gonna ask the same one about is yeah, I was sort of trying to count the doubles in my head. But yeah,
It's
do you
sort
find
of.
that yeah, do you find the treadmill like being a bit bouncier, a bit softer is like nice to recover on? Like I never run on a treadmill. So yeah, just be interested. Do you find it good for recovery compared to running outside?
Yeah, I do like so I used to always just double Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, which are like my sort of like harder days, like double on your harder days, make your harder days harder. But then I've been adding in the little one on Fridays just to bump my mileage, which usually Fridays was just a really short recovery day. But I like the treadmill because you can just set it at an easy pace. You don't have to think about anything else. It's like a little bit easy to just motivate myself. I can put the air con on, like I don't have to go out and you know, there's no hills, there's no nothing. Like it is good just for really easy doubling. And then as I said, like it's my only option anyway. So I've come to make peace with the treadmill for doubles. I don't like doing any of my other runs on the treadmill, but I will double on it. Yeah.
Yeah, the doubles are pretty critical, I think, for mileage, aren't they? And most people who do them, who are half decent runners, do them pretty slowly, and it's sort of like 30 to 40 minutes, that kind of thing. And I definitely reckon the treadmill's an idea if you got one. It's obviously easy to access and time too. Like if you were to, some of those days for you might get up to what in the 20s, 25K over the whole day. That just logistically reduces that time to get on with your life in the day, but also to break it up to recover a bit as well. You know, sort of a almost a 12-hour recovery to run again. People forget that like when you run the next day, it's 24 hours later. If you run like 2 days later, it's well, sorry, if you have a day off, it's a 48-hour window that you're actually recovering in. So it's almost often double what we think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'd rather add doubles than add in a Monday run. You know what I mean? Because I get that 48 hours from my long run to vert session. I think that's been really helpful for not getting injured, and it seems to be working. So I don't want to change it. You know what I mean? So I'd rather add in doubles to increase my mileage than add in runs on the Monday. But yeah.
Yeah, rightio, Stephen. Let's get to you, mate.
Yeah, okay, I'll rip through this. So yeah, just this is going back to Monday the 2nd. So just a bit of context leading to this week. I had a fair bit on with work and a couple other things. So I had sort of always planned to have a sort of a slow start to the week. It's a bit of a downtime because I'd had probably 4 weeks up. But yeah, so first run there was just as around 9Ks in 45 minutes, just my usual Monday wetlands loop. I was pretty tired this morning, so I probably jogged around 5:02s, which is a little bit slower, but yeah, so I don't have the watch or anything, so I just ran to feel and came a bit slower. Then the next day was Tuesday. Unfortunately, I couldn't get down to the bush turkey session on the Tuesday because I had to leave home about 6 for work. So I sort of just jogged from home and did a little speed, a little workout on a little street next to, if anyone knows Sandgate, there's a race course, like a horse training track, and then some cricket fields, and there's a little road up the middle that is basically just a K long, and we call it the Deegan Speedway. So I just jogged there from home, which is about 3K, and went straight into a little workout of 6 by 2 minutes. Like, I didn't even do drills or anything. I didn't even stop jogging. I just went straight into the 2 minute reps. And so the purpose of this day for me was, it wasn't really like a workout to get heaps fitter. It was more just because I knew I had a few days down, but I still wanted to get some leg turnover. So it was kind of like extended strides. But that's how I was treating them anyway. Yeah, for this 2 minute reps, I went, the pace for those was, started at 3:20, then I went 3:16, 3:11, 3:14, 3:10, and then I was. I felt like trash. And I was, yeah, so they started badly. But as I sort of went every rep, they started feeling good. And by about the fourth one, I felt pretty nice. And then, yeah, and I was all done. Like, the reason I did a timed efforts this day as well is because I was like really tight on time. So I wanted to keep the workout time too. I did 1 minute off. So I knew it would be 18 minutes of workout and then about 15 minutes to jog there and back. So all up is about 10K for the morning. I sort of thought after I probably could have done 90 seconds reps and got the same benefit. And saved myself a little bit of time, but the 2 minutes was really good, and I sort of, yeah, it wasn't, as I said, it was a very, yeah, not a big workout, but just something to get the legs turning. Then the next day was Wednesday. I did not run because I had, yeah, as I mentioned, I had a really long day with work. I didn't get home until about 8 or 9 at night, so I had to sleep in and wanted to just, like, sort of see the kids and stuff. So took a little bit easier Wednesday morning and didn't run. Thursday, I don't normally run on Thursday morning, but I was at a kind of part of work last week. I was at this conference thing, so I couldn't run, do my commute home. But one of the guys who's one of the new turkeys, Alistair, he lives sort of close to me, and so I hit him up and did an hour in the wetlands. That was pretty crazy. We just kind of jogged around and chatted for an hour, which is, yeah, nice. And then, so yeah, then we went into Friday, and that was my first key session for this week. So I think I mentioned last time have tried to, like, sort of up what I would normally do in terms of threshold or half marathon work over this build. So I did 3 by 15 minutes. This is part of the turkey session. They were doing 3 by 3K, so I just upped it to 15 minutes. It was going into it, it was a bit of a funny one. We sort of parked around, for anyone who knows, like, Tagum area, there's a Hidden World playground. We parked just up from there and did this loop that's about probably just under 4K. And it sort of goes up down Telegraph Road, back onto Rogan Road, I think it is. And then you sort of, yeah, it's this really nice loop. And there's one dark car park section which does slow you down a little bit. But outside that, it's a really nice loop. There's a little bit of elevation, like, you sort of rolls, but mostly it's not a hilly loop. It's just, yeah, it's just not dead flat. I had, as I mentioned, the start of the week had been pretty busy, and I sort of, like, probably kind of like how you were feeling on Tuesday the week before. I felt it kind of caught up. I didn't have a good night's sleep either with the baby. He was I think for memory, he was a little bit more unsettled. So I kind of got there. I was a bit all over the shop, and I wasn't really expecting to do a good session. Yeah, did my warm up. That was all good. My shoes, but I was wearing the new Metaspeed Skies, which I'm gonna race in, so I didn't want to waste any kilometers in them jogging. Which, I mean, probably 4Ks isn't gonna break them, but yeah, anyway, that was my thing. So I sort of, we did the warm up, changed shoes, and I started sort of maybe like 20 seconds behind the group or something, or like 30 seconds, and then my car was back a little bit. So the first rep, I kind of came out, I was like running through the group, and it went, like, it was just a little bit quicker. I got out in 3:28, which, for these ones, I am looking to do it sort of somewhere between 3:27, 3:30 pace. I'm just trying to sit in there as the reps, because I know that when I'm doing a half marathon race effort, I can usually get a second or two out of myself on race day. So, like Nerissa was saying as well. So my first one was 3:28, which was was, yeah, as I said, like I didn't expect to be, and it felt pretty smooth. It felt quite good. Second rep was 3:30, 15 minutes, and then the third one was 3:29 pace. So that's like, and it felt really good. Like I sort of probably, yeah, once I got the warm out and all the, feeling a bit funny and tired and waking up, I felt really good, and it felt really like compared to the week before, I'd done 2 by 20, and it didn't feel so good. This one, I felt like if you said do another 15-minute rep, I probably could have. I wouldn't have. In this is going 45 minutes straight, but just sort of marginally slower than me. So we were in the reps as well. We were sort of passing each other, and then I'd do my float, which I was sort of floating in about 4 minutes. So it was still moving, but we'd be going back and forth, and so I'd always have him to chase as well, which I think made this a little bit easier. But other than that, it was predominantly solo. I had like a little bits where I was passing people in the first one, where I ran with them for a little bit. But once I did that with a warm up and a cool down, it was 19K for the morning. I had a nice coffee with everyone as well after, which is part of probably what makes Fridays a pretty magic morning. And then, then, so that was, yeah, that was, I came away from the session thinking, going in, thinking maybe I'm not on for a good one here, but it came out pretty good. So that was a good little indicator that fitness is going in the right direction. The next day was the Saturday. I did an hour. In the morning, 12.5K, just went out and did a loop around the wetlands, and by started on the waterfront. So yeah, big loop before 417. And then Sunday, that was sort of turned into a really great morning. Ollie was out here as well doing something slightly different, but a whole bunch of the turkeys doing Gold Coast Marathon were doing a workout. So I'd sort of always planned this one to line up with their 3 by 7K at marathon pace, and I was going to run that with what initially was planned to just be with there's two groups of who are doing like either just under 3 hours or just a little bit under three, a little bit more under 3 hours. So pretty much jumped in, did the warm up with everybody, and Clive is also doing this with me as well, where we started off with Sam Proctor, who is one of the turkeys, and going is he's coming back in some really good form at the moment. He had a few back issues, so but he's starting to get really fit. So we started with him. He was the first group. He was doing his 7Ks in 4:11s, and we sort of finished that with him. Then the next group, we jumped onto the faster group next, which was Maggie and Jassy, and then Michael was just in front of him, but it was mostly Maggie and Jassy. They're both also flying at the moment. That second 7K rep was in 4:07s. And then the third rep, which actually was end up being an 8K rep, was Taz Savage, who also had a blinder at Speedweek yesterday and is in really good form, coming off a PB the week before as well. He was doing 3 by 8K. I was giving a real pump up there. But yeah, he Clive and I jumped into him, and he was sort of saying it's going to be 3:50s. He's looking to run something around that sort of low, so 2:42, probably 2:45, somewhere in that. So we jumped in with him, which he said 3:50s. I said, "Oh, I'll do one rep at 3:50 with you." But we ended up rolling 3:47s for that one, and it was like, I think we had a couple of 3:40s or 3:41s early, which I was definitely Clive and mine doing. We sort of wound it up a little bit unintentionally for him. There was the last rep, so the first two felt amazing, like just rolling at that sort of pace. Like it was really fun. I think like I love jumping into people's marathon workouts as well. Like it's there's just something about doing it that it's just they're really fun. Just running that sort of comfortably steady pace. But it's a little bit hard. But the last one was it was like it was good and really fun, but it was a little bit of a grind because unlike Clive and some of the other guys, I did not have super shoes on. So I was in the Mizuno Neo Zen, so they're not that fast. So I think probably I shot myself in the foot a little bit by doing that, and it was a little bit hard, but I like aerobically got through it really comfortably. So overall, it was 31K for the morning, which is by far my biggest long run since my son was born. And it was really solid. It was the loop we were doing was around Bald Hills. There's a boat ramp, so we'd sort of just go out the boat ramp. So it's all very, it's very flat in there. And more than anything else, this one, like as I said, I'm doing Melbourne later in the year, and this one just got me really pumped up to start doing marathon workouts, which is still a few weeks, probably a few months away or a couple of months away. But yeah, it was an awesome morning, and like all the guys doing sessions that we were running with are great, Nick, and I think are on for a really good result at Gold Coast. Anyway, so that was yeah, as I said, a bit of a down week, so I was only 95K for the week, but 60 of those Ks was in the last 3 days. So yeah, big few days. The next, and then that started this week, which is Monday the 8th. Yeah, up same wetlands morning loop. But I did sleep in a little bit, so it was only 50 minutes, about 10K. I sort of thought I'd feel pretty bad, but I felt pretty good, which was sort of better than expected. But yeah, that was my Monday. Then the next day was Tuesday, so I was still umming and ahhing a little bit if I was going to do speed week. So I sort of ended up doing something in the middle of a big long workout and something that was short and sharp. But I did 6 by K, sort of that CV sort of pace. This was a really cold and windy morning as well, so it was like blowing a gale, and I felt terrible. It must have been something in something that day because I also felt terrible. When I do these normally, I'd probably be able to like, I probably would be looking to do just a fraction faster. So the times are all right. So I did the 6Ks. I went progressively quicker each one. I started at 3:22, then went 3:17, 3:17, 3:15, 3:14, 3:11. Aerobically, they felt quite good, but I don't know if either of you have ever had this where like you're going like, if you're trying to run faster, I don't think I would have run any faster. It would have just felt harder. And so I don't know. It was one of those ones. It didn't feel good that it worked out. The last probably two or three were like quite reasonably fast. So I walked away going, well, if you can feel terrible in the wind and the cold and they come out looking that fast, it's probably not a bad sign. But, yeah, that was, I think about 14K for the morning. Anyway, then moving on to Wednesday. So Wednesday, probably one of my favorite days of the week. I was back in Brackenridge. I missed it the week before. We're just having the day off. That was 90 minutes, about 19 Ks over hills. We had a huge group on Tuesday. I think it was Arvi, Taz, Ewan, Michael, Jassy, Clive, and Blake. So that's pretty much, that was a really good group. I did have to apologize to Ewan because we have this silly little joke where we wear our we won these red visors in a relay last year, and the only time we wear the red visors on Wednesday. Anyway, we all had red visors that day, so that's Taz, Ewan, Clive, and myself, except me. I forgot mine, so I formally apologize to Ewan, and I felt quite bad about it. But anyway, other than that, it was a great morning. Next day was Thursday. No run in the morning. I think I've mentioned this one before. I just jogged 5Ks back to my parents' house. I jogged pretty quick on this one, and I think I was just kind of keen to get home from work and see the family. So I don't know. I seem to jog quick in the afternoon, and I don't know if it's the body feels good or I want to get home quick. It's one of the two, maybe a bit of both. All right, that moves us to Friday. I haven't probably mentioned this, but I didn't really taper going into Speed Week this week either. I sort of just trained as normal, but without doing a Friday session. So I still jogged 70 minutes. This one was mostly with Ollie actually, and we had had a good chat. There was a few other people around. And then after the 70 minutes, I just did four strides. Did them with Clive, and I felt quite good actually, like in the strides. Like sometimes strides don't feel so good, but this one I was moving pretty smoothly, and yeah, it was. I'd like when you're in a race week in particular, finishing that easy Friday with some strides. That takes us to Speed Week. Yeah, I did about a 5K warm up. With drill strides, all the usual thing. Had all the guys and girls were out. Had about 20 of the turkeys doing it, so it was a really great group. As I mentioned, we sort of touched on it. I did run an 8 second PB, which was a little bit a little bit unexpected. I wasn't, yeah, as I said, I didn't taper into the race or anything, and I didn't really. I was sort of, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you ever have those races where you're not like just in a, I wasn't in the best frame of mind about it, and I just wasn't thinking about it too much, but We sort of went, a gun went off. It was a quite crowded first K. I sort of was with Taz for the first probably 200 or 300 meters. And then found a little bit of space and was able to just sit on a group. There was a Burt guy, I think his name's Braden Spencer. Yeah, I think that's his
Yeah,
name.
that's correct.
Yeah, I was basically, he was just running like an absolute metronome, and I was just sort of like, I'd sit with him. A few guys would come in and out, and then you'd sort of, surge. And I was just kind of running in a really flow state. It was one of those days where I was just really dialed in. I don't know what I did to do that, but you just have those days. And I would sort of just stay with him. Sort of got to the pier. I didn't slow down too much. Like, the pier's always pretty slow just with the turn. And as they said, they weren't passing. It's because he's trying to dodge fishermen and stuff. But I had a really strong finish as well, which I think is like, more than anything else, is probably a really good indicator of where my fitness is at. Because often in a 5K, like I'd say, like, I don't really think I'm built for a 5K. Like, I sort of am probably a bit more slow twitchy. And so I often, like, when I'm at a 5K, I'm just running at my capacity and can't kick off a fast pace. But this one, I was able to kick down, ran down a few people. Dave Fontana, who had flown down from Darwin for the event,
The arch
he was def
nemesis.
he definitely come the furthest for it. I got him on the line, and he's normally a few, a little bit in front of me. So that was pretty positive. The K breaks down's just off my watch, so it might not be fully accurate. It was 3:07, 3:09, 3:14, which is the K that has the pier. 3:11, and then 3:03 pace for the last, 998 meters that the watch says that you did. So really great morning. Like, and as I said, like, I think every volunteer is a great job. It's just such an amazing atmosphere that you kind of, once you're in it, I think you can really dial in, and if nothing else, it's a lot of fun. So yeah, it's a really great morning. Then just because I am sort of, at the moment, my focus is to get that bit more volume. We did a bit of a post race workout as well. Nothing crazy, probably more like what I would say, maybe just above marathon effort. We did about 14 minutes. Taz, Ewan, Clive, and myself went and did that. We actually saw Jackson Patterson Wright doing the same thing. So if he's doing
Yeah, I was
it,
going to say,
it's yeah, I've
guess what
seen him
time he
at
run?
some.
Another 5K at 15:30.
Well, yeah, he was going a bit quicker than us there. He did absolutely motor past us. We went north of Park Run, so sort of the opposite direction it runs in.
It said,
And yeah, that.
sorry to interrupt. It said Jackson. I clicked on Jackson on Strava and it said he'd run with, you know, it groups up people. It said
Yeah.
Jackson run with Stephen, Clive, and who was it, Taz, like as a
Yeah,
four,
and Ewan
even
as
though he
well.
was at almost 3 minute pace again.
Yeah, well, in that he ran past us as he came from behind us, flew past us, turned around, flew back past us. So, but that was honestly, like, I'm like, it sort of made, for me, it was really good doing it because I kind of got a lot more volume out the way, or out the day. And there's also, I don't know, like, just cruising when you've run fast and you dial it back and you're going sort of steady. It was just so much fun. Like, it was really good. I was talking to Clive. Clive had a result that didn't quite go as he had hoped, but yeah, I had a good chat to him about that and that as well. And yeah, just it was a yeah really really nice sort of way to finish. And yeah, it was beautiful weather, and then we sort of jogged for a couple of k's cool down, but it was a 6k cool down, and I think that must have made it about, what's that, about 15 or 16k for the morning. And then that gets us to Sunday morning. It was a pretty easy pace, 2 hours and 20 this morning. Did about 30 Ks. I started with the turkeys. They were starting pretty close to my house, so I just walked up to where they were starting and jogged with them for about the first 4 or 5 K. And then when we got to Brackenridge, Arvie and I turned off, ran out to the Albany Creek Cemetery, round Beckett's Road, up back through Bald Hills and Brackenridge. And yeah, got 30 Ks for the morning. It was really nice. So sometimes it's nice when you just run with just the smaller group. Had a good run with Arvie, good chat with him, and yeah, it was a beautiful morning as well. Like, this time of year is just absolutely magic. And then, other than my legs feeling sore and my hamstring was a little bit grumpy to start, it was nice run. We didn't wind up or anything today, just off the hard effort yesterday. But I did start to feel better as the run went on. So 109K for the week. So yeah, it's another decent week. So for the last probably month or so, I've been floating somewhere between about 95 and 110, which is good. I mean, at the moment, it's about as much as I can do without, like, I haven't really been had the capacity to double at the moment, just with life. So if I'm hitting that, I'm yeah pretty happy. But that was my fortnight. So yeah, I think a pretty solid week, and yeah, we've got another couple of good training weeks to come.
That's awesome, mate. I didn't really have many questions, but just wanted to say that that session, that 3 by 15 minutes, that showed me that you're in ripping form. But then to confirm that with the 5K, like 100%, you are on your way if you can put things together to definitely PBing at Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Like that was between those two things, and I think the 5K, it's again, it's not the best indicator of half marathon form other than that you're fit. But the being able to kick off a fast pace, which I can't normally do, is just even when I'm fit in the past, I haven't been able to do that. So things are going right, and if I can, be sensible for the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping that yeah, if we get a good morning and everyone yeah can get a good result on the day. So.
Yeah, any questions, Narissa?
No, I don't think so. I was just going to say, yeah, how, yeah, I think you're in really, really good shape at the moment, Stephen. And I'm the same as you. Usually off of 5K, I'm just holding. If I can just hold, I can never kick at the end. So that definitely is a good sign that yeah, moving well.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. Well, I might get into it. For my fortnight, I came off the back of that long run, if you remember, with Bluey that I spoke about from the bush turkeys. I think it was about 48 minutes worth of running at 3:45 pace around Geebung near Fox Coffee there. That was that last Sunday long run. But in terms of the progression, like I'm getting pretty happy with that now. And I look back at the last 2 months. 2 months ago is when I sort of had that period where I had 2 weeks off by then entirely, just like riding and swimming and stuff like that, and then got into a 50K week. And yeah, now 2 months later, I've strung together 370K weeks. But I think I'm kind of forgetting that. And Stephen, when I started with the Bush Turkey group back in October, November time last year, like how much my mileage increased, my long runs were longer. I sort of sat around probably even 18 to 22K for long runs for half marathon training for years. But the turkeys like to run long, and it sort of made me run 25Ks for a long period of time there for long runs till about March when this injury came about. So I forget that I was running very long, training as a marathoner too, and putting together weeks as long as 100K. I think I did three of those from memory, but a lot of 90K weeks as well. And like I had a comeback there for a bit, which didn't go to plan, and had some time off again. But this seems to be all going well. For the first time, I think in the last week, I'm almost pain-free, which is just awesome. That Tuesday, by the way, if we go back 2 weeks, was my first jog at the turkeys for an hour or so. That was 13K. But that night, I went to the doctor, and this fortunately seems to be the final doctor's appointment. And I'm talking about like a professional sports doctor here who costs lots of money to diagnose me with things. And if you recall last time, guys, I spoke about getting some scans done, and until those scans were done, he wasn't going to see me. He needed scans to make the diagnosis. So when I've seen him, he's a funny guy. He sort of just sits there looking at these diagrams and MRIs and scans and whatever, and he just doesn't say anything for minutes on end. I'm just sitting there like anxious. And he turns to me and he says, Ollie, I'm struggling to give you any diagnosis at all that's significant. Like there's bits and pieces going on, but like I don't think I need to see you again. I think we spoke about that cortisone last time, but I don't think that cortisone's needed because he has no idea where to put it because there's so many different things and different areas where the pain's coming from. But again, at this point, like when I went to see him, I'm almost questioning why that appointment was even happening because at this point, the pain had definitely subsided a lot. So he wrote back to my physio saying, Chris from QSMC down at the Gabba, there, he said, I'll pass Ollie back to you, and I haven't gone back to see Chris either. So the last 2 weeks have been fantastic with that. I'm just going to scroll back to the right date here. The 2nd of June, wasn't it? The first Monday or first?
Correct.
Yeah, so June the 3rd, 2nd, I just spoke about that now with the turkeys. Then the Wednesday. So I'm continuing the Wednesday, Sunday model here, guys. And I've been out there with Roman from the Bush Turkeys and a guy called Dean Wicks, who he's a coach actually. He's got a coaching group called Rise Coaching, I think. And he's a handy athlete. We seem to be very close in ability. I kind of came across him out at the Nudgee track. He sort of goes out there when the turkeys have been there on the track, and just sort of met him there last year. And he teed up a session with me for this one, and we did the and same as last time. He was there when I spoke about my last 2 weeks on the previous episode. We did 8 times 1K, and again, so I did this session just to see if I've progressed. And it was a 3:34 average, progressing 3:39s down to 3:25s with a 90-second rest. This is along the Jim Sawley Bikeway, which I absolutely love. I've spoken about it on the podcast, but it's got the road surface there on the north end of the Kedron Brook, turns into the Jim Sawley past the crit track. It's just such a flat, long area. I reckon it's the best bikeway to run on in North Brisbane. You've heard it here first, but I love it. And I was so happy after that session. Great vibes of Roman and Dean there. Moved on to Thursday, 8K. I think this day from memory was like the first Thursday in a very long time after one of those Wednesdays where I went into it with almost no pain. Doubled in the arvo, 6K at the Nudgee Run Club, which I do each week. Did the weights again, so continuing the weights just once a week now, and trying to lift heavy on incline leg press, some thigh extensions, and I've started a new hamstring body weight exercise where you lie down, you put your heel up on a box, and you kind of raise like a hip thrust. And it just really targets your hamstring. Not much weight needed there, particularly for a weak guy like me. The next day was a jog with the turkeys. We called it the Backstreet Boys, Taz Savage. I'll give him a shout out because we just seem to find these back streets where we get bored and just run in the dark. Basically, it's pretty scary at times, but it's good to have big blokes like Taz out there to look after you. Then Saturday off, so completely freshened up for that long run again. Getting 3 days, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, very light on before the long run. This one was awesome. This is one that Stephen spoke about out at Bald Hills. A loop of about 3.5K, Stephen, from memory, to get 7K total, because they were doing 7K reps by three. So I thought I might just do two of those 7K, not with them, because I guess being a half marathon on my pace comparatively is just a little bit quicker. So the idea was to sort of hit mid 340s, 2 by 7K with 90 seconds jog. I did a 2 minute jog in the end. First rep 26:12, second rep 26:05, and hit the 14K at 3:43s. And this was a magic morning. This is where the weather turned to absolutely freezing. Gloves are on, in the full kit, the Endorphin Elite 2s, the Bush Turkey singlet, the tights, everything's down pat, the gels. We had a water station. It was all set up. It was just a great morning. And yeah, walked away from that super happy about where I was at. And just thinking about that, yeah, almost 2 months ago, I was on the sidelines to be there. Just so grateful for being out there. Heading into Monday, had that day off again, which I usually do. Then went into an hour jog. This one, oh, had a rough night with our daughter, I think, and slept in. I guess 5:45 is sleeping when you normally wake up at 4:30. That was just over an hour. Then got back into the 8 by 1K again. So second week in a row, average 3:32 with Dean again, and Roman was out there. Roman's got an injury, so he jumped on the bike and he actually filmed us. Put some footage up in the week. You might have seen that on Instagram, guys. And the reason I doubled this up again was because I don't want to do anything too short to run fast to re-aggravate the injury. And I figured if I do this session again, I can kind of compare where I'm at. So that sort of showed that the 3:32 increase in pace from 3:34 was evidence of that. Started at 3:38 pace, progressed to as fast as a 3:20 finish, which is pretty much my 5K pace to finish with. And it felt like that was definitely not half marathon pace. And Dean and I were kind of pushing to the end, and like literally, we are so similar. He just broke 17 minutes at yesterday at the park run, which I thought I would have been at with a 16:58. So I think he'll be at Gold Coast too, so he'll probably start next to us guys, and we'll run, I guess, together in some capacity. I then bought a new chest heart rate monitor for the first time to confirm this low heart rate that I've been putting out to Strava for a very long time, and people question whether it's correct. And I've gone to see people to get it check from doctors, just stationary, like hooking up to wires to see if the resting heart rate's okay. And it sits at sort of 30 resting. And for jogging on the watch, it's generally 110 to 120. And any effort, like even 5K, can be sort of 150 heart rate. And yeah, this is starting to clarify that all those numbers are pretty much accurate from the watch. The watch, I think, varies a lot, is the biggest thing I've noticed. Like within one rep or one run, like it just jumps up and down a fair bit. Whereas today I noticed for my long run at 12K there, it just stayed very similar. And it was 150 BPM at 3:45 pace today. So pretty crazy numbers coming out. But I just wonder how I use that and what the threshold BPM actually is. Thursday went into weights again, the staff club run, double there for 13K for the day, just a jog again Friday with the turkeys. And then, yeah, that brought me to this morning. So I was out there with Bluey and Dan from the Bush Turkey Track Club, who reached out when I said, "Hey guys, I'm doing a half marathon session. I know you're doing a long run with Stephen at about 30K, but if you're keen to either back up from park run or you want to jump in, then just reach out to me." And both of them reached out and said, "Hey Ollie, we'll tag along with you. But if we do," and it was a 10K I planned initially, "it'll be a PB for them," which was going to get them basically sub 37:30 if we're hitting 3:40, 4:45 pace. So I did 12K straight. They tagged on for 10K and both snagged PB. So awesome run for those guys. What was different here, guys, was I experimented running on Flinders Parade. Is it Parade or Avenue? Parade. And just straight up there in the middle of the guts, middle of the road, up to the top there, north end, and did a loop back. And yeah, sort of running north then south gets you 7K-ish. And then we added 3K on there up past the aquatic center, Sandgate Aquatic Center, and dropped Bluey and Dan off and turned around for the 12K total. So average 3:45 today. It was a bit harder than almost any of those runs that I've done so far, but I think that's maybe because I've had pretty average sleep the last few nights with our baby, and that can really affect energy levels, I think. And we've been a little bit sick. So, and also I spoke to Stephen off air. Running like for just no, with no floats or any rest is very different to breaking it up. Like if you compare say a 3x4K with just 12K straight, I think like that's quite different. And that was the intention to run a bit less in distance, but start to string together a longer period of time without any rest breaks. So it was definitely challenging towards the end. But again, that heart rate was 150, it was 151 average in the end on the chest monitor. So I was pretty happy about the heart rate, but I don't know what it means yet. So we'll see what numbers come out in the next month or so, and maybe I can use that heart rate a little bit more. So that's my 2 weeks.
Yes, good 2 weeks, particularly those Wednesday sessions. And I know, yeah, when I was just as I was scrolling through the week, when you see how quick you came down towards the end of them, I think it's on top of the good news from the injury side of things, it's just, yeah, I think it's shaping up really nicely for Gold Coast, and it seems to be really coming together for you, which is, yeah, really good to watch as you're getting fitter.
Yeah, I'm just trying to sort of make the Wednesday eventually. I'll come back to the Tuesday, Friday model, but just sort of drop it in pace, sort of targeting that 3:30 average, like sub, like almost 10K pace really for me. And then the Sundays hitting half marathon pace, and eventually I'll get down to running intervals again. But for now, it seems to like that's the safest way, I think, to actually progress to something that's anywhere near like the regular Tuesday, that last K when it's 3:20 pace.
Yeah, I think keep doing what you're doing. The injury's not getting worse; it's actually getting better, and you're getting in good quality. Like 12K is a half marathon pace. I don't know if I'd be able to do that in the long run. So, yeah, it'll get you. Yeah, it'll get you to Gold Coast. So that's what you want, hey.
Yeah, it's certainly a mental challenge, but I spoke to Stephen off air before you arrived, Narissa, and you can't do this forever. And I'm not going to sit here on this podcast and recommend that to people to adopt full time at all. But considering like my build up, I think it was the most effective and risk adverse way to not re-injure myself and to get fit without smashing the speed and having so much rest in between the two sessions of the week. But I now feel like after this morning that I'm ready to give up the Sundays 2 weeks out next week, and that'll change back to a regular jog, maybe closer to 25K, and just do maybe two more Wednesdays or Tuesdays, or maybe come back Fridays. Just take the next week easy and see where it takes me. Now, Stephen, you spoke about heading off at 2 p.m. Do you want to
Yeah, got a
post?
probably another 5 or 10 I can hang on for, so.
Oh, perfect. Let's go ahead then. So I sort of raised a few ideas. We're trying to tag on some topics at the end of our fortnightly recaps to talk about. And one that stood out to both of you, especially Stephen, was the group training versus solo running. And I think it's pretty pertinent because, like, we're all part of fantastic groups, the Bush Turkey Track Club and Bird Squad. And just want sort of hear from you guys a bit how you break up your week solo running versus group running, and what the benefits you feel are for both. Obviously, being in a group, it's sort of shared celebration, shared motivation. There's something that's truly special in my mind about group running that you just don't get solo. But for me, running solo allows me to get away from it all. Like, I work in a job that's so heavily relied around communication and being social. And I've got two kids, and I'm a running coach and run a podcast. So as much as I like to talk, it does get a bit too much for me sometimes. So heading out with no headphones in the pitch black cold morning, with no one interrupting me, is just an absolute blessing in the week. But how about you guys, Narissa, if I start with you?
Yeah, when I first started taking running a bit more seriously, I actually joined in training. So I was running with them for a while, and it's good joining a group initially because you're motivated and you can learn a lot of things from the group. And that's where I actually met my coach, Linda, who's now still my coach. She's more than a coach; she's like a friend to me. We have a very unique athlete coach relationship. And I'm very blessed to have someone in my corner like Linda, who I talk to multiple times a week, all the time. So she's amazing. But yeah, with Bert, I joined Bert because I was having trouble. Once you get to a certain speed, I guess it is harder to find people around to push you. And Bert was perfect for me because there was a lot of guys there and a few other women. So that I improved really fast going to Bert. So that was every Tuesday. They don't do an official, any other official sessions. They have a bit of an unofficial one on Fridays on the south side, and then they do a group long run. They are good. Sometimes you can run a bit quicker than maybe you should, which is not all the it's just good some weeks, but not always the best. And that's why sometimes I don't often go to their long runs because they're a little bit quick for me with my training. But I think there's a good balance, like some group sessions, and then I like running with people for my midweek Wednesday long. Running with Liv saves me because that's a really just mentally tough session. Sorry, not session, run, because you're tired from the Tuesday and you just kind of want to get that one done. So having company for that in the long run definitely helps. But then I do enjoy doing all my marathon sessions solo. Like occasionally I'll have help and that's good. But for me, like where I am when I'm going these world marathon majors, you're not running in packs, you're just running kind of with other people around you, kind of toing and froing and things. So I think there is definitely a benefit for grinding it out solo and getting done, because as I said, around my level, we're not really there. I've never found really packs forming that I've just run with people the whole way. It's very back and forth, and yeah, just get that mental toughness of being able to do stuff solo.
Yeah, how about you, Stephen? Like, the turkeys are a different setup there. There's almost a run available every single day of the week now, if we include park run as a group run. But yeah, how do you vary up your group and solo, and how does it contribute in different ways?
So for me, before pre-round 2019, like so a lot of the turkeys have been in some capacity involved in Moreton Bay Road Runners, and in some ways we sort of came as half a social group, half a Moreton Bay Road Runner group that's kind of quite organically formed. But for me, I joined Moreton Bay Road Runners in 2019, and being part of a group and a community, I learned so much. Like guys like there's a run director, he's not running at the moment due to some injuries, but Brenton Zwartz and Christy McFadden. I learned so much from those just by going to the Moreton Bay sessions, like how to structure a week, like what a session was, like all those sorts of things. And so that threw me into the Turkeys, where I started running with Clive a lot in 2021. I probably ran with Clive heaps, and in that period I jumped from a 302 marathoner to a 249 just by running with someone like Clive. Over the years, become a really good friend, and we bounce ideas off each other, have slightly we're different personalities, but we gel and have great conversations, and really get some like a lot out of ourselves. So yeah, like groups have played a huge role in me as a runner. In my week, typically, like yeah, I'll run. Yeah, Tuesday is nearly always with the group. Friday is nearly always with the group. Wednesday, which has kind of turned into an unofficial run around Bracken Ridge, because everyone, I'm the same as you, Nerissa. So like Wednesdays are my least favorite day if I'm on my own. But probably my most favorite day when we have a big group in Brackenridge, because it's also we just talk rubbish and it's a bit silly. So yeah, I it makes the time go so quickly. And yeah, like the Turkeys, we come from all sorts of different walks of life, but there's a whole bunch of really great girls and guys. And that sense of community for me is where I think now the benefit of that's one part of the group, like that connectedness, and then also just the performance side of things, where they said I'm self-coached. I have a couple of people I bounce ideas off, but getting an idea, fitting in with a group, even if I'm not doing the session, like there are times when I'll do my own session, but I'll still warm up with the group and cool down with the group, because it's just good for you. In saying that as well, I do typically I'll run a few solo runs a week. I really value them as well. Like it's for me, like as I said, I don't, my job is not that busy or anything, but with family and all that, getting up, having an hour where typically I'll be jogging around the wetlands or just a waterfront, something usually easy running on my own. Like I almost find it like meditating. Sometimes I will put headphones in and listen to music or podcasts and stuff, but a lot of them are on my own, and it just clears your head. You don't think about anything. And it's like almost like meditating, particularly when you're in the wetlands and there's nobody around, and it's really good for your head. And I find that I doing that, like if I ran in a group all the time, I don't think I quite get that freeingness, that kind of like wind down. But I know that particularly on some of those Mondays and Saturdays, they're usually my two, and then Thursday on the jog home, they're usually the ones I do on my own. But I think doing stuff like that makes me a better husband, better father, all those sorts of things. Like I'm more present when I'm doing that stuff. So like the solo running, while the group's really important to me, and big part of my life, and love it. I do love the solo things. I think it's part of what you need in your life a little bit, just to wind down and clear your head. But yeah, that's how it works for me. Like I'm really lucky that particularly the 4017 area and the surrounds, like Nudgee, Redcliffe, North Lakes, it's a really good running community out here as well. And more than anything else, it's just a lot of great people. So yeah, it's pretty good. That's how I sort of break mine up between the group. But yeah, groups are great, and but yeah, obviously having that little bit to yourself, if that's something that you need for yourself, then that's really good too.
Yeah, agreed. I think one thing we've kind of missed between us too is like learning to run individually in hard efforts like marathon or half marathon pace stuff where there's no one around you, and learning, like Narissa said, you can't guarantee you're packing a race. So if you can learn as, and also like intrinsic motivation, being on your own solo, doing those long efforts, I think is definitely something that runners can think about, because you're not always going to be in a group or in a pack. But let's head into the next 2 weeks super quickly, Stephen, because I know you've got to head off. Just mentioning things coming up, and for me, it's, I almost mentioned it entirely before. I'm going to lay back now from the Sunday efforts just to a normal long run next week, probably about 23 to 25K. The next week, a week out for me, is usually about an hour to 70 minutes. And then I'll probably continue a session at some point on both of those weeks within the week as well. But how about you, Narissa?
This next Sunday, I'm going to do the Roadrunners 10K Champs because, as I said previously in the podcast, I do go to all their championship events and I do support that club. So I'll go do the 10K Champs. I won't taper as much as Launceston or anything like that, but I still want to go give it a good effort. And then just another solid training week after that for taper.
Yep, Stephen.
Yeah, I actually one of my mates is a Brisbane Roadrunners, does a lot of them, and I was talking to him about maybe going down and doing that next week as well. But that will depend on if I can wake up early and get my long run done on Wednesday. So if I do that, I won't be tapering into it, but I might have a little bit of a 10K hit out. Not sure. I'll decide. I've got to decide by pre Wednesday, but other than that, the week after will be last really big training week, and I don't have quite as much on with work the next couple of weeks as well. So hopefully, I can just relax into it and get a good couple of weeks of training.
Excellent. Well, 3 weeks out today, and next episode will be 1 week out, the race week, and we'll talk about hopefully probably less time here. We've gone the longest I think so far on the podcast. So appreciate your time, but leading into the race, probably focus on some race tactics conversation after our fortnightly training recaps, and then if we can find a moment after the race, whenever that will be, we'll just do a quick recap of how we've gone, and yeah, we'll check in a few weeks. So again, thank you for your time, guys.
Thanks, guys. See you
Thanks,
later.
guys. See
Cheers. Did you know the Local Legends in Running podcast do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram and follow the links or give me a DM. Would happy to talk further. Thanks for listening and tuning in into the podcast.